Blog Talk Radio.
In these days of tea parties and constitution rallies, we're all looking back to our founding fathers for a little bit of wisdom. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting the brush fires of freedom in the hearts of men." This is the voice of an irate, tireless minority of one. We'll be talking about politics, religion, and doing what's right. And you can call me Mom.
You're lost, you don't know where you are, you're all alone. You're in the dark and you don't know where to find the light.
Welcome to Irate Tireless Minority, and so what? All right, all this week I've been seeing posts and reports about the violence at Trump rallies. My first thing is, when you see those pictures of horribly, horribly beat up women, do a little back checking, because I've seen at least two that were not victims of protesters at Trump rallies, but were rather actresses in makeup for roles. So, check your sources, people. I haven't seen this much nonsense coming through my feed since the early days of the Tea Party. Time to be more vigilant. And the other thing is, okay, we do have violence. There are people who were legitimately beat up by these protesters. Protesters waving Mexican flags. Let's make California Mexico. Really? Really? You ran away from Mexico. You came here illegally to get away from Mexico. And now you want it, you want this to become Mexico? There's a little logic check for you. If you love Mexico so much, go back. If you love your country so much, go back. If you love communism so much, there are communist countries out there failing drastically like Venezuela, but you're free to go live there. There is no wall around America yet saying that you can't go out, which is my objection to the wall, by the way. Walls don't just keep things out, they also keep things in. And America is not supposed to need walls because the people are supposed to inform law enforcement and law enforcement is supposed to do their job. You see somebody who's here illegally, you inform law enforcement comes and gets them, examines whether or not they are actually here illegally, and if they are, deports them. That's how it's supposed to work, regardless of all the nonsense, bureaucracy, and regulations that have been put in place since then. That's how it's supposed to work in America. The people are the bottom line and the authority behind the government. Also saw a quote by Hillary Clinton saying the government has the right to regulate guns and gun ownership and all that stuff. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Government has no rights. There are no intrinsic rights that go to government. Government in America has only grants of authority from the people. And what did the people grant authority to the government over? A lot of stuff. But if you look at the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, it overrides anything that is not made consistent to it or that's been agreed to in a stupid treaty by congressmen who are doing stupid things. But it overrides everything. And what does the Constitution say? It says that the people have the right to bear arms, period. The government has no rights. It has only grants of authority, and it has not been granted the authority to do that. Hello, guest. Welcome to the show today. I'm rambling a bit and probably going to be ranting, but thanks for joining me. Now back to these violent protests. And the reason for the violence, the violence is justified because Trump is a bigot and a racist and Islamophobe. So what? So what is America? We are allowed to hold opinions and views that don't agree with everybody else's. If you don't like his opinions and views, I suggest you don't vote for him. That does not mean you get to go and put your hands on people and behave violently and block traffic. This is America. We are not slaves here. We all have choices, and we make them. I had a caller last week, Andy, and who identified himself as Andy, and he started talking about how the elites are manipulating the world to their own benefit. You know, like everybody tries to manipulate the world to their own benefit because that's what we do. We're human beings. The elite can manipulate all they like, but the individual still gets choice. It may not be a very palatable choice, but it's a choice and you get to make it. And the very idea of America is that we have a choice, and not only that we have a choice, but that we bestir ourselves to have a reasonable choice, that we have a shared and common set of values, ethics, and morals by which to make such choices. Now, that's going away. That's going away because the communists have been working for over 100 years to make that go away. Over 100 years! And how are they doing it? They're doing that by taking that shared set of values, morals, and ethics that we had as a nation, well, pretty much. And that would be the Christian morals, values, and ethics that made this nation great. Because that's what the morals, ethics, and values of Christianity do. They require individual personal responsibility. It's an individual choice to be a Christian. You cannot force people to become a Christian. That's why we have freedom of religion in this country, not because we wanted to be free from religion, but because the founders recognized that religion is an individual choice. As Benjamin Franklin said, the man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. You can tell people they have to kowtow and toe the line and choose a religion, but that doesn't mean they actually believe it. You can't make people believe things. We have a choice. We always have a choice. But that said, Mr. Trump, although I don't, you know, having listened to his actual comments, I don't think he is racist. And if he's Islamophobic, so what? So should you be. Have you looked at the doctrines of Islam? Oh, but it's a religion, and that goes against freedom of religion if you say anything against it. No, it doesn't. Freedom of religion does not mean freedom to change the nation into something other than what it is in order to make it a barbaric third world Sharia-driven place. Look at the doctrines of Islam. They are not compatible with the Constitution or with freedom, or with liberty. They're not even compatible with license. Oh, wait, yes they are, because if you're important enough in the world of Islam, you can get some imam, some crazy imam somewhere, to issue you a special ruling saying you can do whatever you like. That's how Islam works. Or at least one of the ways it works. We should be Islamophobic. We should be cautious at the very least of what people who profess to be Muslims bring to this nation. And no, I'm not going to go the, oh, but there are moderate Muslims out there out. Sure there are. But so what? If they know their doctrines and are remaining silent, then they are part, they are complicitly part of the attempt to conquer this nation by Islam, which is required to conquer this nation. And if they don't know their doctrine, then they need to learn it. Then they're not paying attention because their doctrine is being demonstrated for them every single day by ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Hamas. You know, but I was starting out with the Christian values and the way the communists have used Christian values to overthrow those very Christian values. Because in communism, if you have no outside set of absolute moral values, as I was saying last week and still thinking about this week, then what becomes good is what you feel is good. What makes you feel good is good. And if you can make other people feel good, why, that's double good for you. Double plus good. Let's go right into the Orwellian speak. Double plus good if you can make other people feel good about themselves. It doesn't matter what they want, as long as they feel good and you help them feel good. So you're a hero. And if there's any dissent under communism, that dissent must be eliminated. That's what these violent protests are about, eliminating dissent, telling Americans that you don't have the right to think other than how I want you to think. Because that doesn't make people feel good if it excludes them. Oh, illegal aliens might feel bad if you say they should go home or that they're not welcome here. Who has the right to tell you what or how to think? I'll tell you who has that right. Parents. Parents have the right to train, not just the right, but the duty to shape the character of our children, to train them in the way that they should go. That's who has the right to tell us what and how to think. And after we're adults, we have to make that choice ourselves. And you don't get to tell me how to think or what choices to make. I get to do that. And there are consequences for every choice that's made out there. Every single one has a consequence. And we may be free to make all the choices we like, but we are not free to avoid the consequences of those choices. The consequences of accepting reams and reams of illegal aliens invading our country. And there's a group out there that has issued a list of illegal alien rights. Okay, here's the thing. The Constitution says we have rights. We have them. And in our country, we have chosen to respect that, respect our laws to be obeyed. We expect them to be followed, and we certainly expect them to be respected by those who want to come here and live and benefit from being here. We are not required to pay welfare or provide schooling for or provide excessive medical services for illegal aliens. Now, our hospitals, because we are a giving and generous people, and Americans are. And you have to be rich to be able to afford that kind of generosity, by the way. That's probably a good part and parcel of why Americans are so generous. Cannot afford any more to be providing these services to people who are here illegally, who are not paying taxes. Oh, some of them do pay taxes. Well, bully for them, good for them, doing the minimum. But that does not mean all of them are. They undermine and erode the character of the people by tempting employers to treat them as slaves and worse, by tempting police and government officials to take bribes because that's how it's done where they're from. Not just Mexico, but other countries as well. They erode our character and they the wealth out of us. We are not obligated morally or ethically to provide social services or education for these people. what we are obligated to do is to enforce our laws. Because, as I said at the beginning, that's how it's supposed to work. The citizenry is the bottom line. The citizens see something wrong, inform law enforcement. Law enforcement comes, examines the situation, and does what is appropriate or what is required by the law. And there's so much tied up in that, I could do a whole show just on that. But I'm not going to. Maybe I will. But not today. And then there's the whole refugee thing. We are not required to take in countless refugees who would contribute to the destruction of America because their doctrine requires it. And also, as I explored in a recent show, the culture of Islam is one where honor trumps truth. Honor and tradition are more important than truth and justice. If you understand that, then a whole new world of understanding begins to unravel for you. What's important to a person? I've also spoken on this show before about one's duty to oneself to find out the truth about God. Is there a God? Is there a life after this one that is affected by what you do in this one? That's a duty for people that people have to themselves to find that out. You need to find that out before you die. It's a race, people. Most of the religions of the world say there is a life outside of this physical one that we're currently in, and that we do affect that eternal life by what we do here. Don't you think you owe yourself a duty to find out what that is? And the thing is that, because that's an eternal life, that is an order of magnitude more in importance than anything in this world, in this life. That's why those of us who fight against Islam fight against Islam, because we understand that promising a better life here means nothing to people who think that they will get a better life eternally by doing things here that would discomfit us here. It is their requirement for their eternal life to conquer the world for Allah. And you can't say, oh, but I'll give you better roads and schools while you're here and a better life while you're here, just so long as you're okay with spending eternity in hell. That's not a fair exchange. And now I want to get to the national debt. Because the national debt is important. And it speaks to everything that I've talked about. We are a generous nation. We have set up social services, even though that degrades the character of the people, because the people are supposed to be engaging in charity themselves. And we do. But I imagine that's going to get less so the more government decides to try and pick up. And the thing is that government isn't designed to be a charity. It's not one of the functions of government to act as a charity. It isn't. Charity is no business of government. Government is there to maintain roads and infrastructure and to protect the border from those who would invade us. Charity is an individual duty, and groups of people can get together and be churches or nonprofit organizations or other charitable organizations or just be people who want to philanthropize. You know, you hear an awful lot about, oh, those evil one percenters from the progressives and communists on the left. The evil corporations. Who do they go to when they want something nice to give away at their fundraiser? Who do they go to ask for money for their fundraiser? They go to those evil rich corporation people. And why? Because those are the ones who have money. What's the purpose of getting money in this life? So that you can help others. At least that's the Christian moray. That's the Christian value and ethic set. You get money in order to help others. I don't know how many times in my life, because I'm not a rich person, where I've said, gee, I wish I had the money to help that person. And that's a condemnation of me. Because I am not doing the best with the resources the Lord gave me to put myself in a position where I can help that person, where I can just say, oh, you need a new car. Let's go get you one. You need a new car to keep your job. Oh, you're in a bad situation where you're pregnant and you can't afford it. Here's some money. Get yourself in a stable situation and let's look at what you can do to keep that baby. You can't help other people unless you have the resources to do it. There is nothing evil about money. Just like there's nothing evil about technology. It's all about what you do with it, and that's a choice that we can make. Yes, Donald Trump is absolutely free to be an Islamophobe, a racist, a bigot, or whatever he wants, and to say whatever he wants, as long as he's not inciting a riot or removing somebody else's right to do and to think and say what they want. Because this is America. Our children have been poorly served by the educational system. They've been taught that this is a democracy. It is not. Democracy is mob rule, and there is nothing worse for the nation, for a nation. Nothing worse. It's a republic where the individual can resort to the law for protection. That's what the law is for. It's to protect the individual from the wishes of the mob. That's what families are important for. And that, you know, the whole thing about who has the right to tell you what and how to think is your parents. Well, see, in a communist country, they want teachers and government through the teachers to be able to tell your children how to think and to shape their character. What they call character anyway. That's why they need to destroy the family to do it. And they've been working towards it, and they're succeeding. And this is what we've got. Violent mobs of people at presidential rallies. There's no need to have violence at presidential rallies. There's no need for it. If you don't like that candidate, don't vote for them. That's your choice. That's the action you get. And it is symbolic of how far we have come under the Obama administration, that there is violence and violent protest rallies at presidential speeches, you know, presidential campaign speeches. That's shameful to us as a nation. Absolutely shameful. There's no need for it. And now, oh, I've only got 6 minutes left. So doing what's right, educate yourself and find a place to stand and stand there. I've been calling my rep since Benghazi, demanding impeachment over Benghazi because the world should have stopped politically then. The nation should have risen up and removed that man from office and all his cronies who participated in that debacle. We do not leave our people. Oh, we couldn't get help to them. Well, evidence now is showing that we could have. It was a 7-hour-long attack. We could have sent help. And even if we couldn't have helped them with it, we should have sent help because that's what decent people do. That's not where I was going today. Today I was going to go with a little story out of Louisiana. Representative Barbara Norton in Louisiana refusing a bill that would require teaching the Declaration of Independence to our children because it's racist. No, it's not. It is our duty to educate our children about the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution so that they can grow up to be good citizens. The Declaration of Independence is part of our law. It's part of our legal code because it is the impetus, the reason for the Constitution to be necessary. That's why it's included in our legal code. So let's just see if I can read this for you in the remaining 5 minutes. In Congress, July 4th, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present king of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. He has refused his assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance, unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained, and when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodate. Well, I've had my 90-second warning. I can't go through this list. It's a huge list, and part of it is quartering the military in civilian houses, telling civilians they had to take military people in and take care of them. And that's a British thing, you see. 60 seconds. You know, there didn't used to be a police force. What used to happen was you were to raise a hue and a cry if there was a criminal offense, and then all able-bodied people would come and would stop whatever was being done, and then you would take that person to the magistrate and they would try them right away, immediately. No sitting in jail for hours and hours, or days and days, or months and months. The people were required to enforce the law. That's why the people are the baseline. We have choices. We all have choices. We are all an irate, tireless minority of one. We can all make a difference, and we're all supposed to. Educate yourself, find a place to stand, and stand there. Thanks for joining me, guests. You all have a great week.